Mobius's Code by Francis Rosenfeld. Jennifer 5.0.0. It's not that Jennifer was trying to be difficult, it's just that people tended to perceive some of her inherent personality traits as such. For instance, she had a simply unhealthy dose of skepticism that usually operated in conjunction with blatant evidence to the contrary long after everybody else had achieved clarity on the subject and moved on. This time her peculiar flavor of stubborn chose to entertain she was in fact asleep and dreaming all of this craziness. In her defense, this hypothesis was much closer to the normal response any rational human being would have had, compared to the alternative her imaginary friend had presented her with and, scientific mind that she was, she decided to put it to the test. To present things in the proper context, picture the fact that she engaged in this logical reasoning about what was and was not real while sitting in her pottery shop, up an unconstructed space, and watching diverse ceramic artifacts materialize before her very eyes. Never mind this, she thought, because if she was dreaming, why would the surroundings matter at all? The thought that she could have been the victim of a psychotic break had also occurred to her, but if she was completely off the rails, then everybody she interacted with had to be twice as mad to go along with the weirdness of her altered reality. So she went back to the more likely hypothesis that she was dreaming, or in a coma, and channeled all of her attention into figuring out how to wake herself up. Time moves differently in a dream, she thought, a second can feel like a lifetime. She could have barely had fallen asleep for all she knew, or maybe she'd been unconscious for months, or years. She'd heard about people waking up from a coma after over a decade. As remote as they may have been, all of these possibilities were far more likely than the current explanation, that her human life had come to an end but instead of dying she walked into eternity with an angel to keep her company. She shook her head to bring back her focus while she dismissed an ugly vase with a wave of her hand. The offending object disappeared back into nothingness. Jennifer had been so thrilled when she discovered she could make things disappear as well as appear, a feature which allowed her to put some order into the unconstructed space which was getting so stuffed with artifacts it was becoming uninhabitable. Great. I can't focus on waking up because I'm too busy cleaning up house inside my dream. Focus, Jennifer. Mobius was sitting quietly in a chair, not 3 feet away from her, bored senseless and waiting for this charade to end. He yawned, visibly displeased and shuffled in the chair trying to find a more comfortable position. There is nobody else here, Jennifer told herself, you're inside your own mind, Jennifer, he is nothing more than a reflection of your unconscious, she psychoanalyzed herself. I hope Aphael never hears this, he would probably give it a try. Can you imagine anything more terrifying for an angel than to be trapped inside Jennifer's head? Mobius rolled his eyes, but said nothing. Now think, Jennifer. You have to think of something so impossible and shocking that it would shake you to your core, even in a dream. Mobius. Aphael thundered preemptively inside the angel's mind, with an intensity that put a chill through his eternal being. If she gets any funny ideas, you better hope I lock you up inside her head indefinitely. There are other ways to deal with this, you know. Great. Hell threats again, Mobius thought bitterly. Did you say something to me? Aphael retorted. I'll fix this, Mobius decided a less belligerent approach. Yes you will. Aphael left the mental battlefield to focus on the endless array of tasks that competed for his attention. Jennifer, Mobius started kindly. Focus, Jennifer, he's not really here. You are not really here. You are dreaming, Jennifer. Mobius raised his voice. She ignored him. Oh, I know, I know. I'll paint the sky. She started planning, excited. You wouldn't dare. Mobius jumped out of his chair. Yes, something abstract, geometric shapes, something that doesn't happen naturally. Oh, God. Mobius groaned. Maybe a floral motif, with green and purple and bright yellow swirls. She continued with her concept. Jennifer, I'm warning you. Mobius threatened in vain. That should do it, I think. Jennifer assessed her chances of success and closed her eyes really tight to concentrate on creating her sky painting. She could see it in her mind, so perfectly clear, with the geometric shapes in different colors and the field of flowers painted on the sky, bearing a vague resemblance to an impressionist piece. The picture was so beautiful that she lingered inside her mind for a while in order to admire it, and had to force herself to open her eyes. She was almost surprised to find herself laying down in her bed with the morning light blazing in her eyes. It worked. She jumped out of bed with such excitement that she almost knocked over the lamp on her nightstand. Thank goodness, she breathed a sigh of relief, while her daily schedule came into focus, dulling her enthusiasm. Oh, geez, I'm going to be late to work. She started looking for her clothes on the floor, frantic, and was surprised to see the room was clean and tidy. My mother must have been here, she dismissed the incongruous surroundings, found something to wear in the closet and rushed out the door where she was welcomed by a surreal sight. You done? Movius commented, in a bad mood. I'm still asleep. Jennifer sat herself down on the stoop, dejected. What do I need to do to convince you? Please tell me, anything to avoid this circus act, he pointed at the extraordinary swirls the northern lights were painting in the sky. The colors moved and melted into each other like a wild meadow swaying in the breeze. Here and there eddies emerged, forming circular patterns and arches, a curvilinear motif endlessly repeating. But, Jennifer blurted, this is not an actual painting, it looks real. Of course it looks real. Do you think the hosts would allow a break in the reality continuum? There are protocols, smoothing functions, everything you make is going to look real and very possible, Jennifer, but that doesn't make this kind of antics acceptable. Do you know how much work it takes to put this mess in a context that doesn't push exceptions into the construct? I am really upset, your irresponsibility is unacceptable at this point in the process. But, Jennifer blurted again, this can't possibly be real. I must be dreaming. There is no such thing as real. We make the real. You almost broke the real. We had to work overtime to fix the real. I can't even look at you right now. But the northern lights never appear this far south, she tried to justify herself. No kidding. Mobius threw her a grisly stare. But this is beautiful. Why are you upset? Jennifer tried to mollify him. Because the northern lights don't appear this far south. My entire department had to work through the night to excite solar flares and we had to briefly disable a communication satellite just to create the proper context for your little joke. But, Jennifer tried to find a straw to hang on to, wait, what about the geometric motifs, she said hopeful. See, the geometric motifs didn't occur. What makes you think the Aurora Borealis is my fault? Mobius got really mad. I'm so done with your denial. Come with me. He grabbed Jennifer's hand just in time for her mother, who had turned the corner towards her daughter's apartment, to observe the scene. She wasn't alone. Jennifer's distant acquaintance, the one who had witnessed her bilocation, and a rather nondescript young man accompanied her. Oh my, this is awkward, her mother smiled uncomfortable. Don't tell me this is my blind date, Jennifer fumed on the inside, completely forgetting that she was responsible for unsanctioned activity in the ionosphere. I feel so bad, you should have told me about your friend, her mother smiled at Mobius. You mean you can see him? Jennifer mumbled, I don't know what is happening to you, dear, but are you sure you don't want to see somebody who can help you? You have been behaving very strangely since you started this consulting job in Zanzibar, I don't mean to pry. She moved her gaze to Jennifer, scanning her from head to toe. Is she weird around you too? She asked Mobius, who joined the conversation eagerly to vent his frustration. A little strong-willed, perhaps, he smiled courteously. You know, I've been trying the whole morning to convince her to come to the air show with me and she didn't even want to listen to the details. Oh honey, you absolutely have to go, it's spectacular. Those elite pilots are drawing perfect geometric shapes in the sky in so many colors you can't even believe they're real. Her mother agreed eagerly. That's exactly what I keep telling her. Reality-defying, plain and simple. Mobius doubled down. I'm so glad you two found each other, Jennifer's mother confessed to him, apologetically. She is a little different, my daughter, she said, gesturing to stop Jennifer who was getting ready to protest, very special, but a little different. You know you are, dear. That evening Jennifer sat in her pottery shop, looking out the window at the olive grove and wondering what to do next. This business of being and not being at the same time was proving more difficult than she would have envisioned, if in her sleepy little life she'd ever considered the possibility of getting stranded in this existential way station with trains in all directions, which she didn't. She had to consider why she never asked more of her life, and the only answer she could come up with was that she couldn't aspire to things she didn't know existed. She also wondered how much more of this there was that she couldn't conceive of, things that might be interesting and worth spending time on, surely more interesting than making yet another Etruscan amphora. Where does one find answers to questions one doesn't know how to formulate yet? Well, the library, of course. There is this thing about boring people, they always have some skills, passions or interests nobody cares about, but which always seem to come in handy when need arises. Jennifer was a library rat. She used to spend so much time there people mistook her for the staff, and so, to avoid the awkwardness of having them apologize to her for the confusion, she learned the library system and answered their questions with reasonable accuracy, and that knowledge was just about to come in handy right now. Sure, the Akashic Records were not your run-of-the-mill local branch, but they were a library after all. How different could they be? The thought of finally doing something new and entirely unrelated to pottery felt so exciting to Jennifer that she didn't stop to question how she was going to get there, to those archives to which she was supposedly connected, or if they were an actual physical reality, or more of a flood of data that, judging by her current surroundings, she wasn't capable of processing just yet. Well, what's it going to hurt if I give it a try? She thought and focused on the library location with as much intensity as she was capable of, while the kitten clambered up her leg and pinched her with its tiny but very sharp claws. I wonder if I'm allowed to bring a cat into the library, was Jennifer's last thought before opening her eyes, to find herself in a large and somewhat dark reading room surrounded by shelving. The kitten had managed to claw his way off her shoulder and disappeared under a shelf, in search of plunder. Wow, it really is a library, Jennifer was surprised to notice. Of course, if Mobius were there, he would have explained that places in this realm looked like whatever she expected them to, but for some reason he seemed to be occupied at the time. Lucky me, I got this place all to myself. Let's see, where do I want to start? She found her way around the Dewey Decimal System into the portion of the library that contained her city of birth and plunged into the bowels of the archives to find her school, her parents, any information about her former life. Good grief. How much further down do I have to dig to find myself in existence? I've already reached the last shelf and I'm not on it either. Ah, here we go, Jennifer Smith, Life Range 29, that's me. She expected there to be endless iterations of alternate lives, at least that's what Mobius had said, but there were only a few, and all of them pretty much on the same lines as her actual life. At least I don't have to wonder if I didn't miss out on actually making something of myself. She looked around at the vast archive, with shelves after shelves of lives and alternate lives, and was so distressed over being relegated to the dollar bin that she placed her book back on the first shelf she found, without looking at the numbers or anything, who cared anyway? She spent the rest of the day going through other people's books, covetous of their successes, of their long lives, of their friendships or romances, basically of having anything she never got. In her outrage about being so victimized, she of course failed to notice the less palatable aspects of their lives. She didn't care anymore about foreknowledge and the consequences it might bring, so she made her way through the library in search of family and friends and the details of their coming years and emerged from this endeavor with an even deeper sense of futility, firmly attached to her god complex. Nobody hardly ever does anything with this blessed life, I wonder why we bother at all. Since she was there, she figured maybe she could find something worth wasting time on, something like knowledge about the universe, or things that haven't been invented yet. The end of time or maybe other intelligent species. After she was done with that, she found the restricted section relating to what was before the world came into being and about the nature of God. That section must have been equipped with a presence sensor, because as she exited a row of shelves with her arms filled with the books she was planning to take back to unconstructed space and study at leisure, she found herself face to face with Mobius, who looked upset. "You are not allowed in here, Jennifer, this section is restricted. My head still hurts from all of my bosses screaming at me. Could you please put the books down on the table and get out of here? Don't worry about them, someone will reshelve them later. Someone with the proper credentials," he frowned displeased. Mobius, as any entity endowed with reason, had to acknowledge the de facto access one had earned by nature of one's inherent capacity to, well, get in. Besides, he had encouraged Jennifer to visit the library, he just didn't expect her to rummage through every single one of the restricted areas. How, of the humans in history, from all the cities and countries in all the world, did he manage to pick this one? He contemplated the fact that maybe, through means beyond the understanding of even the angelic realm, Jennifer herself was his punishment for his drawing her life outside the lines, who knew how heavens really worked, even to the highest of the hosts their workings were nothing but revelation and a miracle. The miracle of Jennifer indeed. God must have had a wicked sense of humor. "Are you happier now, Jennifer? Now that you learned all there is to learn about everything," Mobius chastised as he walked her to the main reading room, irritated that they had to find the kitten before heading back. "I'm sure I don't know everything about everything," she protested. "There is a section." "And nor will you," Mobius interrupted her. "If there is any mercy in this universe," he mumbled under his breath while looking under every shelf in search of tiny glowing eyes. "This cursed cat has more access than I do, there must be something wrong with the world." "Words of advice, Mobius," a fail resonated in his head. "Next time you feel particularly creative, refrain." For the life of me, I don't know why I'm doing this. Jennifer talked to herself inside her apartment, furious that she had to interrupt a perfectly relaxing day in one of the tropical environments of unconstructed space in order to wait for the plumber who was supposed to come and fix her toilet. Her apartment looked pretty much the same way it did when she last left it, but there was something about it that felt strange, something she couldn't put her finger on. The light seemed different. Surely that was just an optical illusion brought about by all the strain of matching glazed pigments for ceramics. There comes a point, she thought, when it becomes totally irrelevant whether I'm crazy or sane, for all the difference it is going to make. How does one relieve the stress of existence no longer making sense? Her gaze fleeted over one of the windows and the vague surreal feeling that was haunting her came into full focus. She was staring at the ocean. An ocean view in the middle of Colorado. Jennifer panicked, wondering what happened to the rest of the continent, and why the sun was shining on the wrong side of the house, and in her panic she tried to call her mother, but the phone number requested long-distance service and didn't work. Mobius, she whispered meekly. Mobius, can you come over, please? I need your help. You don't say, the latter replied from a chair, his face betraying way too much enjoyment of the situation. He polished a fingernail, taking his time, and then continued. Tell me, Jennifer, during your times of unofficial volunteering at the library, did they ever teach you how to reshelf books? What do you mean? I don't understand. Please, Mobius, I'm really in over my head here. Jennifer looked out the window at the ocean view, trying to draw Mobius' attention to the loss of half a continent without actually having to say anything. Relax, we didn't lose California, you are not in Colorado anymore. See anything different about the sun path? Why, how, where am I? Jennifer couldn't gather her thoughts enough for coherence. If I were to guess, I'd say Connecticut. The shelves are organized in alphabetical order. Welcome to your new life. What life? I didn't have a life before. I had a pretend consulting job in Zanzibar. Is my mother still in Colorado? Yes and no. Your mother is now both in Colorado and in Connecticut, since her book was left on the appropriate shelf, but she's also in yours. Congratulations on your first logical paradox, one of many to come, I'm sure. In fact, everyone you ever knew has a Connecticut double now. Other than God himself, I don't think there is a being in creation able to untangle this mess. You are not mad? Jennifer evaluated her options with the daintiness of a cat trying to find her way across a hot roof. Why would I be mad? There is nothing I can do about it, other than wait for the inevitable consequences. But I didn't mean to, Jennifer mumbled in search of an excuse. Of course you didn't. Do you remember what I told you about creating things? That is not just what you do, but all the feelings and thoughts associated with the doing? What were you thinking when you misplaced the book, Jennifer? Jennifer chose not to answer. Would things go back to normal if I put the book back on the right shelf? For the most part, if everybody manages to ignore the two-week time gap and you simply cease to exist, and then re-emerge with no explanation at all. No matter what you do, there is an irreconcilable logical disconnect. There is only so much our kind can do to maintain the integrity of the timeline. It wasn't designed to survive events like these. So what should I do now? Jennifer was almost afraid to ask. Whatever you want. I don't think it makes much of a difference. The ocean view is nice. Jennifer's heart sank as she went through all the events at the library, trying to remember if she put any of the other life books back on the wrong shelf. I appreciate the fact that you have started to grow a sense of responsibility. Mobius stopped her inner anguish, but if any other books were misplaced, we'd already know by now. Let's just hope and pray that none of your family or acquaintances have any connections to Colorado. What are the odds of that happening? Jennifer asked, miserable. Zero.